Okay. Let us see the Word of God. We are on the study of the book of Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew is the book of kingship. Chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Today is the second time of the study of Matthew. Do you remember first time? Thank you. Okay. Okay. Let me start. Verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child, pregnant through the Holy Spirit. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Amen. May God bless all of us with his living word. As we know, last time at the first study of Matthew, we saw the story of Christ's genealogy, his generation record. In his genealogy, he was introduced as son of David, son of Abraham. His genealogy story runs like this. Abraham, father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah, Judah father of Perez. In other words, Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, Jacob begot Judah. You know, mother, in this story, mother did not beget son. Father begot his son. Then, the bottom line in this story, bottom line is difference in the birth of Jesus Christ. In verse 16, it does not say Joseph, the father of Jesus, or Joseph begot Jesus, but it says Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. You know, since the creation of the world, in human history, there were only two men who had no human fathers. One is Adam, the other is Jesus. In the future, no more who will have no human fathers. You know, today, if some unmarried girl say, oh, I became pregnant by the Holy Spirit, please do not believe. Only two enough. That's why Jesus is called last Adam in this sense. Jesus is last Adam. Then if we see the situation of marriage story between Joseph and Mary, maybe some may be confused. Shall we read verse 18, 19? Verse 18:19. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want the exposure to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. You know, if you see, thank you. If you see carefully, verse 18 says, Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. It means engaged, not yet married, according to our ideas today. Then verse 19 says, Joseph planned to divorce her. They were already called husband and wife. Then to make this story clear, we need to know Jewish normal marriage process at that time. You know, at that time, usually in Jewish standard, normal marriage steps, there were three steps at that time. First, there was engagement stage. You know, the engagement was made while the couples were young, only children, by their parents or by professional matchmaker, regardless of couple's choice. Even they did not see each other. You know, even in Korea, up to my parents' generations, many, many marriages were done like that. My mother was forced to be married by parents. I heard also my wife's parents were married like that. And second stage is betrothal. It means the ratification, legal approval of engagements. This second stage lasted for 1 year. During this period, of course, they did not live together. Of course, they lived separately in body. During this time, they should keep their virginity, purity, should prepare to be good husband, to be good wife. But legally, they were already called husband and wife with absolute binding. Legally, they were already husband and wife. So if during this period, wife commits adultery, she was to be killed by being stoned. If during this period, the husband died, wife was called virgin widow. Have you heard? Virgin widow. We call in Korea 처녀 과부, virgin widow. And second stage is this, and third stage is proper marriage. At the end of this period, they live together as husband and wife in one house. Hallelujah. Then, in this story, they were in second stage when Mary was pregnant. Imagine, brothers, if you were Joseph, what shall you do with Mary in this situation? The text says, Joseph was a righteous man. Joseph was a righteous man. Yes, of course, before God, basically speaking, there's no one righteous, not even one. Every single person, including Joseph, Mary, you and me, needs a savior and salvation. Then in this passage, Joseph was a righteous man. Righteous means, humanly speaking, being zealous to keep human's law. So as a righteous man, Joseph had to divorce her. But I think Joseph was a good man, a gentleman, kind man. So Joseph did not want Mary to be killed. So Joseph was studying deeply how he can divorce silently, secretly, quietly to keep Mary alive. During this time, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Amen. Do you believe this? Shall we see next verses, verse 20 and 21. "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as a wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" Yes, if you see the book of Luke, another gospel, in book of Luke also, the angel appeared to Mary, Gabriel. Gabriel appeared to Mary and greet. At that greeting, Mary was troubled, surprised. "What kind of greeting to me?" Then the Gabriel, angel Gabriel, said to Mary, "You will be with a child and will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will rule, he will reign over the house of Jacob. His kingdom will never end." And Mary was surprised. How this will be to me, since I'm a virgin, Then the angel said continually, the Holy Spirit will come on you. And the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, means original God. Original God, the very nature God. Nothing is impossible with God. And at that time, Mary responded, "I'm a servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you have said." And both Joseph and Mary obeyed fully. I think, humanly speaking, Joseph was a gentleman. We have many gentlemen in this room. Gentlemen, let us be gentlemen. Then, all this scripture says, all this happened, took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. Shall we see verse 22 to last verse? Verse 22 says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will be with the child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." Emmanuel means, which means God with us. Especially in Emmanuel, El means God. You know, Israel, Eloi, Eloi, Rama Sabachthani, Elohim, El Shaddai, Elijah, El. And verse 24, "When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and she gave him the name Jesus." In verse 25, "He had no union." This is an indirect expression. Other version says directly, "He had no sexual intercourse with her." Anyway, these all things happened to fulfill what the Lord had said in the Old Testament. You know, if we summarize the story of whole Old Testament into one sentence, we can summarize like this. The whole Old Testament is the bundle of prophecies of coming Messiah as Savior and King, and his substitutionary death and his victorious resurrection. As I mentioned sometimes, the Matthew is the book of King. So one of the characteristics of Matthew is it has more quotations and allusions from the Old Testament than in any other New Testament book. For example, if we see whole chapters of the New Matthew, there are about 130 times of quotations and allusions from Old Testament. Another characteristic of Matthew is Jesus came in this world as what? As King. His kingship. So we can see many, many, many times the words, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Yes, we know. The kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's why we should repent. The kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Continually, more than 32 times, we can see the words, the kingdom of heaven, in the book of Matthew. Only in the book of Matthew. No other book. Only in the book of Matthew, we can see the words, the kingdom of heaven. Then he says, all this, his genealogy story, all stories. It means Old Testament is prophecy, and New Testament is fulfillment. So the Old Testament prophecies prophesied the Messiah would be born of woman, not human father, of woman, and through the seed of Abraham, and through the tribe of Judah, and through the family of David, and finally through the Virgin. For example, if we see Genesis 3:15 is very, very important in redemptive history. Actually, literally, it is curse from God to the serpent, snake, after the fall of Adam and Eve. God said, I will put enmity between you and woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. But in this sentence, you, of course, literally means snake, but spiritually, you means Satan, the devil. According to Revelation 12:9, ancient serpent called Satan or the devil. And woman's offspring means Jesus Christ. Galatians 4:4 says, when the time had come fully, God sent his son born of a woman, not father, not physical father. Also Genesis 22:18, God said to Abraham, through your offspring, through your child, all nations on earth will be blessed. This prophecy was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. And Genesis 49:10 also once again prophesied the scepter. Do you know scepter? A kind of a stick. Scepter. Scepter hold. Scepter will never depart from Judah. Scepter is a symbol of kingship. Also, this prophecy was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. And in 2 Samuel 7, 12, 13 says, God said to David, I will establish your kingdom through your offspring forever and forever. Also, this prophecy was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. And in this verse, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. This prophecy was said already in Isaiah. Would you see? In Isaiah 7:14. Exactly almost the same sentence. In Isaiah 7:14, we can see same sentence. Okay, shall we read together? Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14. The Lord himself, did you find? The Lord himself will give sign. The virgin will be with child and give birth to son. They call him Emmanuel. Same book, Isaiah, one more verse. Isaiah 9:6 says, to us a child is born, a son is given, and the governments will be on his shoulders. Government means kingship. Government means kingship. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and King of Peace. King of Peace. All these sentences were fulfilled through Jesus Christ. That's why Ephesians 2:14 says, Jesus himself is our peace. Yes, the word, the name Jesus means Savior. Savior comes from Hebrew Joshua. You know, Jesus and Joshua same. Jesus is Greek, Joshua Hebrew. The meaning of Joshua is Jehovah is salvation. I know we have Joshua in this room. Joshua. Where is Joshua? You know, Joshua is Jesus. And the meaning of name Jehovah is my salvation. And Christ means Messiah, anointed one. Christ is Greek, Messiah is Hebrew. So Jesus is his human name, and Christ is his official title. And Emmanuel describes who he is. God is with us. It means Jesus Christ is God, our King. You know, Jesus Christ was not a phantom, not ghost. He was a truly real man. Also, at the same time, he was truly full God. And he was sinless, totally, completely. The fact that he was born through virgin means he was sinless. Without inheriting sinful, corrupt, fallen human nature. He was without original sin. Then why? What is the purpose? What is the purpose of virgin birth? Why Jesus came into this world through virgin birth? There are many, many purposes, but at this moment, I want to share with you five purposes why Jesus came through virgin birth, sinless. Number one, firstly, to fulfill God's promise, to keep his promise. Yes, I said already many, many times, it was prophesied many, many times in the Old Testament, God is not man. God is God. So he is so, so faithful in keeping his promise. To keep his promise, Jesus came into this world through virgin birth. And secondly, to reveal God. Can you see God? Can you see God? Jesus came through virgin birth to show God to us. You know, we cannot see God. We cannot see God, but God can show himself to us. John 1:18 says, "There, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only who is at the Father's side, has made him known." God is spirit. God can show something of himself to us through nature, through human history, through his servants, prophets, through human conscience sometimes, through dreams, through visions. But God has shown all of himself through Jesus Christ. That's why Hebrews 1:1 says, "In the past time, God spoke to our forefathers through prophets, and many times in various ways, but in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ." Colossians 2:9 says, in Christ Jesus, all the fullness of the divinity dwells in bodily form. We can see God. We can see all of God in Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is God's full and final self-revelation. And thirdly, to bridge a gap, difference between God and man. Just like Matthew is the bridge between Old Testament and New Testament. Jesus Christ came to become bridge, joint between God and man. That's why 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ." For example, if I want to be mediator, bridge between Chinese and Japanese, if I try to be bridge between them by speaking Korean, I cannot be, because they cannot understand. That if I do it by speaking Chinese, Japanese cannot understand me. If I speak Japanese, Chinese cannot understand me. If I speak English, my English is poor, their English is poor. So I'm poor mediator. But if I speak Chinese and Japanese, both languages fluently, I can be good, perfect mediator between them. And Jesus Christ is a full God and real man. That's why only Jesus Christ can be mediator between God and man. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I am the way means I am the mediator. I am the jointer. I am the bridge between God and man. And number four, Jesus came through virgin birth to save us. Already we know Jesus' name. The literal name of Jesus is Savior, to save his people from their sins. To get forgiveness, yes, to be saved, forgiveness from God is very, very essential, necessary. To get forgiveness from God, what should you do? What must we do to get forgiveness from God? Yes, we must repent. We must repent. We must confess our sins to receive forgiveness from God. Repentance and confession of sin is necessary, essential, absolute to receive forgiveness from God. but remember at the same time. Repentance, confession of sin is not enough to get forgiveness. God is a righteous God. To get forgiveness from God, first, the penalty of sin must be paid. The wages of sin is death. So, to be a perfect Savior, He must be God to save us. He must be real man to pay the penalty of sin, to die. He must be sinless for His sacrifice to be acceptable, effectively. Who is there in this world that is full God, real man, and perfectly sinless? Only Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ. And finally, number five, to show us the example of sinless life, holy life. Jesus says, come to me, all who you are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm humble and gentle in heart. You will find rest for your souls. Who can say in this world, I'm gentle, I'm humble? Jesus says, I'm gentle, I'm humble. How is it possible for Jesus to say in public? Because He is sinless. He is absolutely holy. 1 Peter 2:21 says, to this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving the example that you should follow in His steps. In His steps. Jesus, let me give you one question, very simple question. Is Jesus your Savior? If this is true, Jesus is my Savior, your Savior, no question. He is our example, model of what kind of man we should be in this world. You know, in the Bible, there are many human writers, Moses, Paul, Peter, Matthew, many, many writers, about 40 writers. All writers of Holy Scriptures are perfect, infallible in their teachings because they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. But they were not infallible in their characters. Only Jesus Christ is perfectly infallible in His teaching, in His character. Bible says two sentences only. To the unsaved, believe in Jesus Christ and live. To the saved, follow Jesus in His steps. It is very, very necessary that we should have an illustration, example of what God wants us to be. The most powerful incentive to holiness is not teaching, not precept, but example. Example. Shall we say it together? Example. Especially example of one with whom we associate, walk together closely. You know, in Exodus, we see when Moses came down from the mountain where he had spoken with God face to face, his face shone. It means, Christians, if I and you are real Christians, we are being transformed into liking Jesus Christ more and more in our character, in our personality, as we walk with Jesus Christ. Are you Christians? Are you Christians? Christian means Christ-like man, Christ-like person. If you like Christ, you will be like Christ. May God bless all of us through this wonderful absolute truth of Jesus' virgin birth. Shall we pray together? Father God, thank you, thank you, thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world through virgin birth. This is a mystery hidden in you, our God. But we know, whether we understand or not, whether we believe or not, whether we accept or not, truth is true. Reality is real. Fact is factual. Father, thank you for your gift in which we can believe this wonderful truth, wonderful doctrine. Without this doctrine of virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, our salvation is utterly impossible. We praise, we worship our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God, our King, our Savior, and our example of what kind of man we should be in this world, in this dirty world, sinful world. Please continue to anoint us to be more like our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.